You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Putin's intention was never to go to war. It's not popular for Russians to want to see their troops go to war. He doesn't have the money to do it, but he's willing to do it if he can win something. Yeah. And he smells blood in the water, and that's what we're seeing him do.
I've got to leave it there. Do you believe he moves in?
I think that if he's going to move in, it's going to be between February 20th and March 1st, between the last day of the Olympics and the day that he has to give his State of the Union address. And so it's up to Biden and NATO to pull it together, strengthen our spine, deter by sending anti-tank, anti-air craft missiles, and make sure that we really deter Russia by putting sanctions in place and letting them know we mean business.
We need to make sure Putin knows we mean business. Those are the words of Nikki Haley, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. And she knows of what she speaks. And when she says Putin smells blood in the water, she's right, because she is reflecting on how we are being viewed across the world stage right now under this current leadership. The debacle in Afghanistan. Now, you're going to hear the Democrats say, there's no comparison. And, of course, the other day they sent word out, we're telling all of our embassy personnel to get out of Ukraine now. So, see, we are trying to protect Americans. We still have, you do know, we still have Americans behind the lines in Afghanistan who can't get out. They're either married to an Afghan resident, or they're hiding with them. And some of the Afghans we were supposed to get out are in hiding, if they haven't already been found, captured, and killed. And Putin sees all of this. China sees it. North Korea sees it. And Nikki Haley has had her battle with Russia and regarding Ukraine in the past. Let me take you back in time and remind you something. When she was a U.N. ambassador, 2017-18, I think that's right, time frame. Let me see. Yeah, that would have been, 2017-18. She was criticizing Russia at an Emergency Security Council meeting because of what Russia had done over the weekend. They had harassed, rammed, and seized Ukrainian ships and crews. And she was condemning Russia for an outrageous seizure. Not that Russia cared what Nikki Haley had to say, but it made it very clear she was there to fight what she called Russia's outlaw actions. She knows that the people in Ukraine do expect the U.S. to stand with them against Russian aggression. She added that in her remarks then. And later, President Trump backed her up. He said, I'm glad to see her speak out like that. And her comments at that time were some of the most direct criticism of the time of Russia. Basically, there were three Ukrainian ships passing from one port to another through a strait of the Black Sea, as they normally do. They got blocked and fired upon by the Russians on that weekend, ramming them, holding them hostage for a while until eventually resolving it. But she says this outrageous violation of sovereign Ukraine territory is part of a pattern of Russian behavior that includes what we saw with Crimea. Mike Pompeo, of course, served as Secretary of State under Trump, and he also knows Putin. He's dealt with him directly, and he knows exactly, one, that Nikki Haley is correct in her assessment. And he also knows that Putin and his design and desire, while he might not want a war, it's costly, not going to be good for him. He will push and push and push. Mike Pompeo talking specifically.
What's different is I think he sensed a feeble administration. And so he's begun to use this coercive power in different ways than he would have done with President Trump. It's just we had a policy around the world which made clear, here's the things we care about. Here are the things we're going to defend. And there was no doubt that these words would be backed up by deeds. And I think he saw the Colonial Pipeline incident, right, where Russians shut down pipelines in the southeast. And we told him, that's great, but don't do it again. He saw us give him New Start. He saw that debacle in Afghanistan. And I think that has emboldened him. The fact that he's now got equipment and troops in Belarus is something that suggests he has deep plans to act in a way that gets Vladimir Putin a lot of what he wants.
That's Mike Pompeo again, who served as Secretary of State under Trump. And Putin's got all the pieces in place, ready to move on his command. And are we successfully dealing with either negotiation or back channels or whatever form we're using right now to avoid any kind of armed conflict, whether or not it involves U.S. troops, NATO troops? And at what point will Biden appear to show enough spine that Putin will stop? Because Biden was with Obama in that administration when Crimea was being taken over, and they asked for help, and Obama sent blankets. And Pompeo says, I'm glad that when Trump was in office, we took a different approach.
I'm really glad the decision President Trump made to override what President Obama had done. President Obama gave them blankets, pillows, and candy. We gave them the capacity to defend their own sovereign territory. Their people should do that work. And I'm glad we did that. It put them in a much better position today. Having said that, the Russian military is a scale bigger. It's harder to move on offense, so Putin will run into more trouble, I think, than he believes. I'm confident the Ukrainians will fight, but make no mistake about it. I said on the weekend that we should respect Vladimir Putin. Doesn't mean we should love him, like him, or bend a knee to him, but we shouldn't treat him as the JV. They are capable. He is a credible, capable statesman, and that's why the mistake of not putting deterrence in place over the past year has led to this moment that we're suffering from today.
You know, I found it interesting. Pompeo mentioned the term the JV. Do you remember Obama referring to the Al-Qaeda terrorists as the JV, the Taliban, the JV? In other words, they weren't real terrorists. If Biden has the same kind of thinking that Obama had at that point, Putin is probably counting on him doing so, they're still not that worried about it and what we may or may not do. Here's John Kirby on behalf of the Department of Defense insisting, oh, no, we're drawing a line in the sand. Here we go.
The United States will act firmly in defense of its national interests in response to actions by Russia that harm us, our allies, our partners. All told, the number of forces that the Secretary has placed on heightened alert comes up to about 8,500 personnel. We're going to be ready. We're going to be prepared to help bolster our allies with capabilities they might need.
They might need. He says we're going to be ready. You think that really means anything to Russia? There is some news that's come out that we have 6 U.S. fighter jets that have arrived in Estonia amid these current tensions at this point. The U.S. European Command says these fighters will remain in the region till the end of next week. They belong to the 48th Fighter Wing of the U.S. Air Force and were permanently based at United Kingdom Lakenheath Air Force Base. But they're going to remain in Estonia at least till the end of the week. All of this, again, is NATO allies trying to show some support for Ukraine. Ukraine is not a member of NATO, and the NATO allies are not obliged to take part in anything, but they think it's critical that they do so we don't have a Russian incursion. Other NATO countries have also been contributing some troops, but let me remind you, in addition to that happening, Germany is sending nothing. Germany is not sending anything because Germany is counting on that pipeline from Russia to provide fuel for that nation. Putin is saying, really, look, I just want to reestablish, and that's what he's after, really. He wants to reestablish what they had in the past. He wants the old USSR. He was in the Soviet KGB for many years. And he's acknowledged that the collapse of the Soviet Union was the greatest, and I'm quoting him here, the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century. So when he made the move to get Crimea, that was, again, a part to reestablish the USSR. And he's still stressing that Russian ethnic and cultural influences in Ukraine are reasons as to why it should be part of Russia. That was a significant part of the same reason they used when it illegally annexed the Crimean region of Ukraine in 2014. So they want to go deeper. If you hold that thought, that the reason Ukraine should go back to being part of Russia is because it has a lot of Russian ethnic and cultural influence, wonder what you would say about this nation, dare I say, 20 years from now, maybe sooner, as more and more illegals come across our border, with Democrats having a lot of concern about Ukraine's border, but none for our border. Wouldn't you going to reach a point that Mexico, or even Central America in general, in addition to Mexico, decide the U.S. belongs to us? It has a lot of ethnic and cultural influences of Hispanics in Central America, Honduras, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Mexico. They could try to make the argument. But again, Nikki Haley, previous U.S. ambassador to the U.N., says Putin sees Biden as just too weak to do anything.
This administration's been very clear on how weak they are. They've been clear on how weak they are by selling out the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that has made Europe so dependent and Germany very dependent on Russia. They have sold us out by letting the world watch what happened in Afghanistan as we watched our American soldiers die. They continue to show weakness in the fact that they can't seem to get it together with Ukraine and Russia.
No, not likely. When we come back, I want to talk more about this border incursion of our border. And the Democrats are not doing anything. Stand by.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Do you remember when we started saying that the more criminal activity that comes across our southern border, illegals, the more chances of more drugs coming across, more chances of child and sex trafficking, more causes and possibilities of more violence inside our country carried out by illegals who the Democrats want to give the right to vote if they're in the New York City area or in New York itself? And do you remember when VP Harris was given the job to go down and take care of the border crisis? That President Biden decided, I think you'd be perfect to do that job. And I'm sure Harris smiled and said, I'll be glad to do it, sir, whatever the commander-in-chief wants. And I am willing to bet she went off into a room and threw an absolute hissy fit. He wants me to take it? Nobody can resolve that thing the way we're doing it right now, and now I'm going to get all the blame. So she's trying to stay away. And they have, as a group, tried to say, it's not that bad. These are just people coming for a better job, better place. Well, that also translates into taking jobs away from Americans and those who came here legally and waited their turn to come here legally. It's also going to be driving up wages, not wages, but prices, I should say, and depressing wages and using up resources in your city or your town meant for kids in school and their help and so forth. But you know what VP Harris did do yesterday to show that she's aware of how bad some of this could be? She walked across the street from the White House, went into the executive office building, sat down in front of a video set that makes it look like she's somewhere in the White House, and she condemned human trafficking. She said trafficking is an extremely heinous and profitable business. Did she just wake up and figure that out? She noted an estimated 25 million were victims of human trafficking. She said enriching global criminals by $150 billion. And she added, let's be clear, when we're talking about human trafficking, we're talking about some human beings who are essentially buying and selling other human beings. There you have it. Slavery. They want to talk about slavery and systemic racism, slavery of this nation. And yet they want to ignore these that have been brought across, children that are coming across unaccompanied or with someone that we cannot verify if it's a relative or not. Well, a lot of federal security officials on the border have said this human trafficking is obviously increasing because we're not doing anything to stop them. We let them in. If they come as a family, they have a better chance of getting in. Are we checking them? Are we running DNA tests and trying to decide they are, in fact, related to them? Do we know for sure that the person there carrying a phone number that we call and they say, oh, yes, that's my niece. We're bringing her here for a better life. Send her up. Put her on a plane, please. Do we know that we're not sending that child to a sex trafficking ring? Are we going to see stories in the future, looking back upon this time, and say, you're going to hear from survivors who say, I was kidnapped by my own family or sold by my own family, and now I've lived a life of being a victim. Who are we going to blame then? Now, these guys, they'll be gone. But Nancy Pelosi might still be around. That story coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota has the perfect new or pre-owned car for you, but Jay Ackerman also has a mission to help charities that make a difference. Ackerman Toyota supports food banks, veterans groups, head injury victims, charities battling cancer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Walk out the door.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Hello, it's Nancy. Thank you for the opportunity to share some thoughts with you, our VIPs, our volunteers in politics, in our ongoing engagement for the people. Thank you for being a constant source of new, fresh ideas and political activism to help Democrats deliver and to defend democracy. Thank you for giving me the privilege to represent our city and our San Francisco values in the Congress. Human rights, reproductive justice, LGBTQ equality, respect for immigrants, and care for each other. When people ask me what are the three most important issues facing the Congress, I always say the same thing. Our children, our children, our children.
So, that's Nancy Pelosi. She'll be turning 82 in March. She's currently, of course, the House Speaker, announcing that she will run for another two-year term in Congress, ending speculation she might retire this year. I don't know that I fully buy that she will not retire. She says she's running, but she knows that after 2022, if the Republicans control the House, she will not be House Speaker, obviously. Whether or not she decides to retire at the end of the next two-year term or not, she knows she's on her way out. But right now, she's just saying, hello, it's Nancy, and we're just like Chucky the Clown. We're going to be around and make things better for you, right? Let me give you a response to that. A writer from San Francisco Gate Politics editor writes it this way. In fact, the column has this title: Nancy Pelosi will run for re-election in 2022. Why? Why? That's it. And points out that the most obvious and perhaps most likely answer is a simple desire to claim the power. This is written in the San Francisco Gate by their political editor. And it adds that an uncommonly ambiguous report from CNN in December indicated that Pelosi may renege on her vow to leave the Democrat Party leadership in 2023 if she remains in Congress by then. But of course, he also points out that if Democrats lose the House to Republicans in November, a scenario going more and more likely, she's going to still face a difficult task, just being named the minority leader in the House. A group of moderates did not support her speaker bid in 2021. There have been a lot of questions about some of her stock trading. That's increasing tensions with progressives who think everybody should be living on a communal farm until they get their part, and then they go off and buy their mansions and say, hey, I'm down with the struggle, I'm done. And, of course, she has to worry about how bad the beatdown is going to be in 2022 with the numbers the way they are with Biden. And even when members that are running for Congress right now, or plan to, are saying, I don't want Biden here. Beto O'Rourke running in Texas to take over a Cruz, Senator Cruz position, has said very clearly, I don't want Biden down here. I just want Texans only. You know, we try and say, this is not about Texas. Let's don't bring in outsiders. And when Biden went to Georgia to push the Voting Reform Act recently, Stacey Abrams, who ran for governor, still thinks she should have been governor because the election wasn't fair. Uh-oh, she can say it wasn't fair that she didn't win in Georgia, but Trump can't complain about any election vote. But once again, here's Nancy explaining, I'm running, here I come.
Our democracy is at risk because of assaults on the truth, the assault on the U.S. Capitol, and the state-by-state assault on voting rights. This election is crucial. Nothing less is at stake than our democracy. But as we say, we don't agonize, we organize. And that is why I am running for re-election to Congress and respectfully seek your support. I would be greatly honored by it and grateful for it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. She's running to protect democracy. Democracy. You know, it was just the other day that Biden and his Democrat allies are insisting during a two-hour press conference that Congress has to pass these voting rights protections. Otherwise, Republicans are going to keep those people from voting. Those people, you know, the minorities, those who think more liberal than conservative, they won't get a chance to vote. And yet no one, not one person has come forward and said, here's the act that will keep minorities from voting. While you still hear Democrats decrying this, Joe Biden himself saying Jim Crow 2, it was such a loud and stupid speech that even Al Sharpton criticized it. But Biden was saying about the 2022 election coming up, and I'm quoting here, I'm not saying it's going to be legit. The increase in the prospect of being illegitimate is in direct proportion to us not being able to get these reforms passed. So see, he can discuss the 2022 election that
he absolutely is not predicting that the 2022 elections would be illegitimate. The point he was raising was both that in 2020, even amongst challenging circumstances, efforts to suppress the vote, and the midst of a pandemic, there was record turnout, Democrats and Republicans, record turnout to go to the polls. He was not making a prediction. He has confidence in the American people, and we're going to do everything we can to protect people's rights.
He can get angry and shout and shake his fist at the clouds like Grandpa Simpson as much as he wants. But he said what he said in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and it's now widely recognized even by Democrats that it was beyond the pale and that it alienated the senators whose votes he needed, to include Democratic senators who he compared to those segregationists and secessionists, who I would point out are all Democrats.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
And we're down we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. You let your-
we basically took the laptop and other information and traced back who in China actually made those deals happen for the Biden family. And what we discovered is that is some $31 million were provided to the Biden family by five individuals in China, and those individuals all have ties to the highest levels of Chinese intelligence. So what has been a story about corruption and cronyism increasingly is a story about spying, espionage, and national security.
So that is Peter Schweitzer, the author of this book that is now out and already number one in America, Red Handed, How American Elites Get Rich Helping China Win. He was on Sean Hannity last night discussing his program, his book, I should say. And, of course, it ties in a lot to the Hunter Biden laptop and information off of that. And all this focus and attention is obviously upon the Bidens in particular. And Schweitzer said last night that there's no doubt that Russia and China and Ukraine have information and background compromising intel on the family of Joe Biden. That's his assessment. But while you're looking at that and thinking, well, is that a fact or is it just something that makes for a good book? We do know this, that Republicans are slamming Pelosi over a China bill proposal she came up with. She said this bill is to curb competition with China. And Republicans say, that's not what that's doing. They're not doing anything at all like that. It's actually helping China. So much for actually caring about America, Nancy. That was their approach. And then you've got Senator Feinstein, who's defended China against human rights violations as her husband got rich off Chinese companies. Feinstein's spokesman says her husband can do business with the communist nation if he wants to. Yeah, that's true. He can. That's also part of the book. All of it is showing how some of these Democrats have been getting rich because they have these deals with China, and by that I mean communist China. Schweitzer was saying that in the process of part of the book and investigating it, they came across something very interesting concerning Hunter Biden.
You have this connection with the vice minister for state security in China. You have this connection with a former head of the Ministry of State Security in China who runs the entire spy apparatus. You have those relationships. But in the midst of Hunter Biden striking these deals in China, he does something really shocking. He goes to the U.S. Secret Service and says, I do not want any protection when I travel overseas. So that means he's going to China, elsewhere around the world. He clearly does not want certain elements in the federal government to know exactly what he's doing and where he's going.
Does that not raise a certain stink? You don't have to step into the cow patty and know that it's fresh on the ground there in front of you. Hunter Biden saying, I don't want any Secret Service agents or anybody like that with me. I just want to be on my own. I'm a big boy. I can take care of myself. Yeah, we've seen apparently some evidence of how he can do that. But I'm not so concerned about his sexual or coke escapades or anything else like that. It's a matter of who he's seeing and the alliances he's making on behalf of Daddy. And again, if his, as he's even admitted, if his last name were not Biden, he would be making a lot of these trips. And if his last name were Trump, my God, the state-controlled media would be hitting you in the face with this story every day. Let's say it's all fiction, just total fiction, everything. I don't believe it is, but let's just say that. It wouldn't make any difference to the liberal media, not judging by how they had done similar pieces in the past, like Russian collusion, all fiction. carrying out House hearings, impeachment proceedings, backing it up, claiming that Trump is trying to keep minorities from voting. The difference between those who think and those who are just following like sheep is that we're going to question everything, and you should. Do I know if the Schweitzer book is documented properly and actually can back up everything it has in it? I do not. And you might read it and think it's just a piece of fiction. That's your choice. But there are a lot of questions, and there have been from the beginning, about the Bidens, their alliances with China. Now, I told you a few moments ago about Senator Feinstein, also Congresswoman Pelosi, and other Democrat elites. And there may be some Republicans mixed in there somewhere, too, before it's all over with. All in the tent of making as much as they can dealing with the communist nation. Some of it happens right in front of us, like with the Beijing Olympics. I mean, with the Olympics coming up, I mean, we've got major corporations buying ad time to run inside the Olympics, putting some of their products into China, trying to capitalize on some of the money that might be available for them in China. They're going to do what they can to enrich themselves as well. We understand that. And I have a growing problem and concern at that level. If it's right in front of us, with U.S. companies allowed to do business with China in the way they're doing it now, and you don't do business in China unless you have a China partner, and a China partner means communist involvement. I think maybe we should shut all of that down. We still do some trading, but allowing them to go in and set up shop and or use slave labor, the NBA, all those who complain about Black Lives Matter, why aren't you standing up against this slave labor? Well, it's been a rough program today. I'm sorry about that because we're remote and I'm dealing with COVID. I've got to go stay on protocol, but keep the faith. And remember, I pledge one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.